Listen for the partnership. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, who I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. That's verse one from what Paul read. I love the partnership that happens on a Sunday morning in this congregation. Thank you for your excellent worship leading and music leading and music. I have an encouraging message for us today, and I also have a challenge for us. And I have good news for anyone who is overwhelmed or weary or stretched thin. And some of this is just going to be fun. You know, the kids and I did a science experiment last Sunday after the worship service. It worked pretty well. We're going to try to show you that later on in my sermon. Parents helped partner with it to make it work. And I was in the store buying the supplies for this science experiment, and I'm thinking, why am I spending $30 of my own money on something that's just for fun? Like, this is just silly, and I'm supporting a company I don't even care about. And is that even just a waste? I felt guilty. And then I relearned that fun is valuable. Having fun together is actually in our team covenant. If you haven't seen this, there's a copy of it on the bulletin board in the hallway, or you can look at this one afterwards. But the very last item of our team covenant says, we will seek to take time to have fun together. I love that. Now, this team covenant we've been using at Zion for the last 5 or 6 years, and the simple part of what it is it's about partnership. It's about how we seek to treat one another in this place. This covenant and our partnerships together are two of the reasons why we are thriving now as a congregation. We are healthy. We have joy together. We're doing more outreach than I think we've ever done in the 32 years that I've been here with the congregation. And that's not because of me, that's because of partnership. It's beautiful what's happening here. We are displaying what Paul in the book of Philippians is talking about, partnership that leads to outreach and joy. And partnership is built into who we are as a congregation. We have more commissions and committees. We love partnering together, and we seek to do so intentionally, each committee seeking to have a balance of male and female and older and younger so that we can partner well together. And a great example of this is the relief sale. I know some people were discouraged this year that maybe the quilts didn't bring in as much as they had in the past, but there's somebody who saw the relief sale for the first time of their life, and they were amazed at the partnership, at the generosity, the volunteers. And I am grateful, Zion, that we have learned the value of partnering together. You're doing so well at this. But there is a problem. One of the things that I'm noticing about us is that sometimes when disagreements rise up, we pretend they're not there. Here is example one of how we try to protect our partnership. Now, somebody partner with me and tell me what this sign says. Partnership. And this is what we do. It's understandable. Disagreements don't feel good. They do not feel good. Because we care about one another and the relationship in this place. So we try to hide it. Maybe it scares us. And so what we do is we end up making it worse. Which tells me that we haven't fully received the good news yet. The Holy Spirit that we have been singing about empowers us to be peacemakers, to practice partnership. When we sweep our disagreements under the rug, we're creating a situation where either somebody is going to trip and wipe out, or we create a situation that we try to avoid. And so anytime I encounter somebody that I'm in disagreement with, I've got my back to them. I'm not believing anything they say. I'm disregarding them. I'm not trusting them. I am going the long way around, which takes a whole lot more time for all of us if we're trying to avoid it or tiptoe around it. And this is why Paul, with love for the people of the church at Philippi, pleads with them for mediation. Does the church want to be known for our joy and our outreach? Or do we want to be known for our lack of knowing the gospel? True partnership carries the gospel further and faster than denial and anger and fear ever will. And God is inviting us to partner together in new ways. Here's example number two of how we try to protect our partnership. We bottle up our emotions. Think of the last time somebody did something that hurt you. How did that make you feel?
Sad.
Sometimes it makes us angry. Sometimes it can make us bitter or discouraged or lonely. Sometimes when communities are devastated or spoken badly about, it makes us sad. Sometimes when hurricanes come in and destroy, it can bring fear and sadness. You know your situation better than I do. When somebody said something about you, when somebody took something that was not yours, we keep all these emotions bottled up in our bodies, and they make it worse. Because emotions, if we feel them, they're temporary and they will pass. But if we don't deal with them and feel them the first time, they're just going to be bottled up, causing more problems. I was in a meeting this past week, and I was speaking about something that I care deeply about. And I can feel what's happening to me now in my body, what happened to me then. My arms and my legs got all this tension in them. I could tell that my ears were starting to close, like I wasn't able to hear the things other people there were saying. I noticed that my voice started getting really high and thin. All these emotions in my body were trying to get out, were trying to be acknowledged. When we bottle up what is painful, it rumbles around inside us, and eventually it spews out on others. Take a look. David, if you'll play the video. Okay, watch! Oh!
Yeah.
Hey, Mama!
Thank you, David, and thank you, children and parents. There's so much cuteness in that video, I feel that we might miss the point. Right? Oh, it was great fun. Ignoring painful emotions does not make them go away. It makes them bigger. Because if someone and I have a disagreement and I start to avoid that person, and every time they speak, I mistrust them, we aren't going to be functioning together very well. We start triangling, we start gossiping. Does that sound like partnership? Does it? No. Of course not. So, you see, the $30 that I spent on cola and Mentos, and the time that I'm going to invest in the next couple of minutes teaching some practical skills that we can grow in, every drop of that is worth it by far if two people will begin to practice partnership. If the gospel gets into us more deeply. These last years, I have learned some things about how to practice partnership well, and I have been amazed at the transformation that God can bring. Amazed. Amazed. This is possible, and it's easier than we think. God is inviting us to grow in partnership because recently several people here have said, oh, things are going really well here now. When is it Zion's turn for it to go bad again? It's not that there's a clock ticking that says, oh, it's getting close, now it's Zion's turn. No, the struggles of life they're not scheduled. But here's what we can do. They are normal, and so here's what we can do to prepare for them is by continuing to practice what we know, the partnership that God has begun in us. And God's Spirit is ready to empower us to do so. I want to briefly give us four simple steps that help us more effectively navigate the normal disagreements of life. And I welcome hearing later what you have found that works well. These are just the ones I've learned, so I offer them to you. And really, I think the most difficult part of the process might be that accepting that when we hide something under the rug, that actually causes more problems. That might be the most difficult part, or courage, but the Spirit's ready to empower us in that. The process itself is actually much simpler than you would think. So step one, this is really important. Pray. Pray for one another, pray for yourself, pray for the conversation that you seek to have together. Pray for God to be God. Remind yourself that Jesus is with us and cares very much about our unity. Step two, listen. When you meet with a person to share and discern together, if both of you will seek to really understand the other person, your relationship is going to be strengthened. What I notice is that there's often this moment of discovery in the conversations that I've had where one person realizes, oh, you thought that. Let me explain about that with step number three. Sometimes other people's behavior just baffles us, right? Just confuses us. Why did they do that thing they did? Step number three, ask. Now, this isn't always going to apply in every scenario. But if you're wondering why they did what they did that was so hurtful, ask. Because I can almost guarantee you that the answer is much better than the one that you have created. The answers we try to fill in the blanks with of why they did what they did are based on our own baggage and experience. And their reason is often much more innocent. Step four. Some of the time, step number four means we forgive, and some of the time, step number four means we apologize. And some of the time, it might be both. Both are human and part of good relationships. I used to think, in terms of forgiveness, I used to think that there were people in my life who I had forgiven and who I was forgiving and who I would always be seeking to forgive. I've learned some things this week. I don't think about forgiveness in the same way anymore. Forgiveness means that I let go of the authority or ability to make things right for myself. And forgiveness means that bitterness, the hold that it has on me, is released. And so because of that, because of what I learned about forgiveness, I've been able this week to forgive people instantly that I'd struggled to forgive for years. I'll close with a story about a parent who I saw practicing partnership recently here at Zion. One of the things we do at Zion when children are dedicated to God is we say as a congregation, we seek to partner with parents in the raising up of your child in the ways of Jesus. We take that seriously, or at least we seek to. And if we practice partnership with one another, that's something every child here will see. That is a way to partner with the parents by modeling that behavior. So the story that I saw. Oh, actually, I do want to back up, though. I'm going to try to not gush, but I want to say to parents of young children, you all are doing a phenomenal job parenting, just phenomenal. I see you doing things, and I was like, oh, I wish I knew to do that. You're doing such a good job. This parent that I saw, they had their toddler in the hallway, and their toddler was crying and hungry and cranky. And when I had toddlers, who I love, and they were tired and hungry and cranky, because that's normal. When that happened here at church, after the worship service, I bolted. Like, we left, because I was embarrassed and ashamed. I thought I was going to be judged for that. And this parent did something so beautiful. They just scooped up their child. They dug in their bag and they gave him a snack. It was so beautiful to me. Attentive partnership. And then they taught them, oh, you were hungry. Your body needed food. They were not afraid of being embarrassed in this community, because I hope they know that this is a place where we are committed to one another. And that meant a lot to me. Because when we practice real partnership, it preaches the good news that, oh yes, Jesus actually came to bring reconciliation. And the Spirit does still empower us. And God truly is a God of peace. And we get to be partners in that. May God give us courage to partner, so that empty bellies continue to be filled and joy and peace may grow. Amen.